I guess us is in here. Cut different guys. How y'all feeling today?
Doing pretty good.
Feel good, brother.
Feeling good. Like
I don't care. Let me do my intro. So welcome back to Cut Different. Hashtag Cut Different on all platforms, all social media outlets, and all streaming services. We are back in here, and they are feeling good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Let's get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get started, brother.
Brother Mouche in here.
Hey, hey. Take this ride with me, fam.
Yeah, yeah. I said Mouche, man.
Oh, that's all good. It's
brother
all
good. Mo.
Yeah. brother Nick.
Yes, sir. What's going on? How y'all doing?
Yeah.
That was better, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was actually a lot. Yeah, I give that. That's more energy.
Yeah, I give it like this.
Aw.
Mr. T in here.
Listen, let's start this week off strong, man. I feel good today, man. It's a good day. I'm ready for this show. I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah.
I am.
And yours truly, George and Trisha's son, G Baby, the only gangster in the room.
Amen.
Yeah, that title.
Amen.
Right.
Cool on that.
Yes. Y'all some haters. Don't get mad, God love me better than y'all.
Love you sleep better, dog.
What's he drink?
Stupid. What's that?
You
know what
I'm saying? You got your ass laughing. Not the Greco-Roman.
He said, "Must be what, dog?
You must be Greek."
I'm talking about Zeus, huh? So, what's going on, fellas? It was an interesting week, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it out.
Let's just jump into it, man.
Yeah.
I've been telling people for a long time, don't piss Chris Brown off, because he can rap better than most of y'all.
It's funny, truth be told, I didn't know that he could, I know he could rap, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you had played the track or whatever, and I was like, damn, who is that? So yeah, I didn't know. You know?
Yeah, he can rap. Yeah, Chris is talented, man. Like, he's one of them cats that, you look at all the attributes and the position he's supposed to have, most of the stuff, he's going to be up there, top tier.
Mm. Yeah, he like LeBron of music.
You could definitely safely say that. That's a good comparison. Yeah.
He ain't necessarily the best, but he's really good.
Oh, but he's top tier.
Really good at everything.
When it's all said and done, when he retires, he will be considered as a legend.
Yes.
He'll be a legend.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, even up to the point where he started, up to this point to today, currently, how many number one hit tracks, how many bangers, he put out a banger every single time. And he don't cover, at least, you got to think, Chris Brown been out since he was a jit, right? Young jit.
I don't know.
He don't cover
a banger every
time. No, think about it.
Chris?
Yes.
A lot of techno beats behind his music.
Bro, but he transitioned. He went from strictly R&B to all that stuff. But the point is, he put out hits.
He's a pop artist.
He's like a younger Drake to me. Like, Drake, you know how big Drake is, and he can switch to, like, rap and R&B. Chris Brown got his, like, own style of that. Not saying he liked Drake, but I'm saying, like, as in, like, popularity hits and albums and stuff like that, and switching flows and styles, and, you know, like, featuring artists, he is one of the best out there.
To you.
To me? Mm-hmm. You just said it.
No, I said he can rap. Damn, yeah. He said that.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to tell y'all some real stuff now. And this is where we have to sit there and we got to realize these artists and the accomplishments that they have. So
it's artists.
As far as artists, whatever. But the point I'm making is this. So the point I'm making is this. Chris Brown came out with his single Run It.
Yeah.
In 2005.
I used to like that song.
Right. If you see me, you know. Okay, cool.
You want an older girl.
So, you got to think, it's 2024, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brown has been in the top tier for 3 decades. Let that marinate.
3 decades?
Like, as far as 3 different eras, like, in, as far as 2000, from the 2010 era, he was hitting from 2010 to 2020.
Gotcha.
He's been doing his thing, and then now we're currently from the 2020 to 2030.
Right.
The point I'm making, and the trajectory where he's at right now, he's been relevant.
He should be.
What I'm saying is, when you look at his catalog of work, and you look at just the amount of hits he's put out, You know what I'm saying? Chris Brown, we gotta give it to him where credit is due. Yeah. He's doing his thing.
You got a poster of Chris on your wall.
I do not. But I do recognize guys. I recognize people that have talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you gotta understand the level of consistency.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
No, I'm serious. Think about this, yo. This guy.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to talk about it. But the point I'm making is, cats got to be careful when messing with the R&B artists. Because just because a cat can sing doesn't mean he can't spit.
Have you seen that?
I'm going to tell you. No, I'm going to tell you what's who's cool. Who's an R&B cat? I like my boy, Tory Lanez.
I was going to say.
Tory Lanez. He can actually spit. Yeah. And then another one, too. And then also Trey Songz. We're talking about mixtape Trey.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is, just because you do R&B doesn't mean that you can't rap.
Yeah, I got one side.
On just Chris's level, y'all saying those other two guys?
Well,
Tory can't sing.
Tory be doing this thing. Tory, I can't
even like Tory. His island vibe. Like his island.
I ain't trying to get y'all to agree. I'm just saying that's how I feel.
No, he got like more like that island vibe there. Yeah, but he's still singing. He's still singing. He don't sound like trash. Yeah, yeah, no, I like Lane.
And being from Canada too, I think that's pretty versatile.
You just sound like Americans.
That's it.
don't do it.
Right. Stay on the street. Stay on the street. Don't go outside.
But nah, man. But nah. So I mean, the beef thing. I hope. I'll say this dumb. This is the beef is cool as long as it's just a beef for entertainment. But if it gets to a point where it's getting personal, then I think them brothers got to sit down, and talk, and figure it out.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it's cool, it's entertaining, but we still talking about black men to black men.
Can we get to the beef, though? Like how you feel about the dirt?
I think it's retarded.
I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb. That's why I said I hope it's just an entertainment thing versus it being a serious thing. Because if it's a serious thing, especially how black men deal with each other.
Right.
Either on one positive aspect, one negative aspect.
Ain't nobody got shot, though?
Well, I think what he's trying to say is, you know, keep it professional.
Y'all sound so
you know,
righteous.
No, man.
Like y'all don't like a little ratchet in y'all life.
Well, no, I don't. You know what I'm saying?
I said y'all.
Right. And I'm saying I don't.
You
but
don't?
No, man. Mm-mm. You know, and I think that to...
You're on the podcast with us. You're a little ratchet.
Oh,
man.
No, go ahead.
Trying to bring a little levity to the situation.
Right. Go ahead, Brady.
But no, man. I mean, you know, the rap beats, as long as it's done in good, you know, in good spirit, that's fine, because that's how hip hop began. You know,
right.
I'm the MC. First, it was about the DJ. You know, my DJ. You know, this is my DJ. Who up the band? And then it kind of evolved into, you know, like the braggadocio.
Yep,
you know,
I got this, I got that.
And then lo and behold, you fast forward to like the 90s. That's when I stopped listening to rap. You know what I'm saying? This is just me personally, because I didn't like the direction that it was going. It's more about you're bragging like, I got this, I live in this house, I live in that house. I can't see that because I didn't have that money. I don't have like millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right,
so
right, right.
To me, that's something that right. I can't relate to.
Right.
And now, like with a lot of these beats, man, these beats, you know, children look up to these artists, and life is starting to imitate art. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I don't like. I don't like when, you know, you got record labels now taking out life insurance policies on a lot of these young brothers.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
First you gaslight them, you take the life insurance policy out on them, and then they get killed. You're benefiting off of that debt. Yeah. And that's what I don't like. I don't like how much...
And they know it.
Right. I don't like how they capitalize off of drama.
Can I ask you a question, though? It's funny that you brought this, so I don't want to interrupt, but it's made me think about this.
Okay.
If they're taking out, and I've noticed before, if they took out life insurance policies on these artists.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you feel like the trajectory that they're going,
right?
They could possibly go and lean to death, or going towards like incarceration. I ain't worried about him.
Yeah.
25 that you go around, right?
Right,
you're
25. Right, that's right.
So my question is then, as an artist, or as when you look at it from an imagined standpoint, and you're not trying to help me,
mm-hmm.
that you got to think about the game.
Oh yeah.
Like, so if you got a life insurance policy on me,
mm-hmm.
that means you feel like I'm going towards a direction of death. That means,
right.
So why are you ain't trying to help me versus me going down the death path and then benefit from it from a paycheck?
Right. It's like that's what they pushing. You know what I'm saying? You pushing that ratchet behavior out there.
Absolutely.
You know, because like I grew up listening to a lot of what they call conscious rap. You know what I'm saying? When I was a shorty during the 80s, late mid to late 80s, early 90s and stuff like that. that was my vibe. You know what I'm saying? Tribe Called Quest, yeah. Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Common, especially
Talib Kweli, man. You know what I'm saying? DJ High Tech, man. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Common, that's how I grew up. Mos Def. You know what I'm saying? X-Clan. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I grew up listening to.
African Bubata.
African Bambaataa, yeah. You know what I'm saying? His personal life.
His personal life was totally, I gotta do it. But as far as the music.
Right, the music. I don't advocate the devil. I'm saying antithesis. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. But no, like Dave Chappelle say, the music is scandal proof. You know? So, like, that's what I go
by. They still got music like that, though.
Yeah, and that's the music that I listen to.
So, okay, so all of y'all just hate this whole. This song.
Well, no. Here's what I said. I think what we're saying. This is what I'm saying.
The life insurance policy.
Yeah.
First of all, the first thing they look for is someone who's not retarded, but not.
You don't know the.
You don't know the game. Somebody who don't know the game. Right. Don't know nothing. Just came from nothing. That's why they always pick from the bottom.
Right.
Cause then they give them everything at the top, but they still got a bottom mindset.
Right.
And if you're talking about killing, you know, niggas and shit before right. you got the millions,
right?
They know you're still in that environment. You don't want to leave the hood, so hell yeah, they're gonna put a life insurance policy.
It sounds like smart business.
That's what I'm getting to for them.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like the artists don't really care about that shit. They ain't thinking that deep anyway. They just think about the millions.
But can I ask you a question though?
Yeah.
But why don't know?
You said what?
They know. Them niggas choosing that though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They chose that subject. I wouldn't.
They're picking the money over their own life.
Listen, what I'm
saying. I wouldn't be worrying about somebody that raps about that. Why do they need to worry about them? They tell you what their life is and what they care about.
It's about.
But like I said, I think they're targeting them type of.
You thought? I think you're on the same page. Yeah. I think you see it.
Yeah, it's impact versus intent. You know what I'm saying? You can have the best intentions in the world, but it's impact. That's why, you know, a lot of people nowadays say my truth. I don't really use that term. I say it's the truth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's only one version of the truth, and it's what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to support it, though.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, everybody, the ones rapping about it and the ones listening to it have other choices.
Yeah.
But I think for me, though, it's not about really the support. It's about how this beef thing can go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, too.
You think they're going to kill each other?
I mean, they're having the beef is about a woman, a girl.
Beef game. What I'm saying, though. Yeah. When it goes to beef and shit, and it comes to you, remember we talked about last week, you don't know what state of mind people are in at that moment and shit going on.
Yeah.
This man right now is still on one side of the spectrum, is dealing with Chris Brown, got his own personal shit with Quavo talking about he's dealt with. Well, you don't know how that's impacted Chris Brown. On the other side, Chris Brown don't say his shit that nigga should have been you that got killed instead of your brother.
Yeah.
Think about that. Your family member.
Yeah.
And that family member, you gotta think. Now you brought my family member who's close to me involved in this.
It crosses a line.
So what I'm saying is that's why I said it's an entertainment or it's gonna go past that. If it's entertainment, cool.
Right.
But if we get past that, that's a problem because then we're still dealing with black men and black men have conflict and it's resulted to bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. That's the only thing I'm saying, y'all.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making. Yeah. So what I'm saying is if it's going to where it's getting personal, where the shit is getting serious, then versus it continue to escalate, let's talk about it.
We're talking about Chris Brown and Quavo.
Who cares? It's human life.
We're talking about Chris Brown and
you're Quavo. Focusing.
I heard your point on that. What I'm saying is y'all niggas made it too heavy. It's too heavy. It's Chris Brown and Quavo. Okay. I don't think they got a gun with two bullets between the both of them.
You know what? That's what a lot of men fuck up on is because you underestimate your enemy. Never
not my enemy.
Not your enemy. Underestimate a person or each other or individual. Never underestimate what a person's going to do, especially when their pride and their ego is on the line.
I understand what you're saying, and I respect
you. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I'm saying over here on this side.
No, I'm with you on
over here on this side, and some of the listeners. It's just a rap beef. They ain't did nothing to each other yet.
Yeah.
The only thing they've done was play basketball against each other. That's all they've done. And I get the heaviness of y'all trying to put the trial of the black community on this situation.
No, what I'm saying, no, I
this,
didn't.
This is my opinion.
Yeah,
I've heard y'all out.
Go ahead.
Is my opinion. What I'm saying is, brothers, we're just talking about
right.
Chris Brown and Quavo.
Right.
I didn't hear nothing remotely dangerous in that song. Those disses. It didn't even when Chris Brown was talking about he blew, nobody believes that. But he made it sound good.
Yeah.
He can rap.
Yeah.
Y'all forgetting the entertainment value of the situation.
Yeah, that's what it's going
to happen. But I didn't say that if it's entertainment.
I didn't say you did. I'm just saying we talked about the other side.
Yeah.
Now, when we going to address the fact that we have two diss songs out this week?
Yeah.
I get y'all holding the black community on trial sometimes.
We ain't holding the black community on trial.
Definitely. I don't know. I feel a little unsafe in this room with you guys.
Rap beef, nigga. No.
You should feel safe because you want to talk about versus be about.
Yeah. Yeah. True. No, I get what you're saying, G. You know, and, you know, to me and T's point, we're not...
The training talk, we're supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and we're having fun, but, you know, I always just want to throw that little bit of, you know, that little bit of understanding behind it. That's all. We having fun.
We got a dialogue. We're adults. We're straight in dialogue.
We ain't going to have no rap beef or nothing. I can't rap, so I ain't going to...
Nah, I won't rap. Hey.
I can't do it because I don't know what to do with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I
did. Okay.
I look scary.
But I think, you know, we can have fun with it, you know, and talk about it because, you know, it is funny. The only thing I would say about it was, like you said, when he brought up the issue with his brother, I think, to me, that was just kind of, you know, overstepping.
Did he really talk about his brother or was
he talking about him?
That's what I meant.
It ain't about your brother. Yeah. That's about you.
But it don't matter though. You still talk.
It's a, you know, just a.
That's about
you. So on his point, like another beef that was going on was King Von and what is it, NBA YoungBoy or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe he ended up getting killed in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But
they was killers though. They have classified that boy a couple times as a serial killer. He should have been rapping.
Yeah, but I think the greater point is sometimes it can escalate to, you
know, Tupac and Biggie.
Yeah, Tupac and Biggie. Right, because when you played it, G, I was like, man, that sound like Hit 'Em Up. I was like, that's great, man. That sound personal.
The greatest.
Right.
This song ever made.
Right. You know,
one of.
But I think that just.
Who's better?
I'm gonna say who's up there to compete with it.
You got
Nas, Aether.
Yes, and, but you got to slide Pusha T on there too.
You got to put Common in there too. Dude, when he gets Ice Cube, you know what I'm saying?
Pusha T, just to Drake, and Lil Wayne. He went out to the two greatest.
In Common.
Yeah.
The bitch in you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey man.
You talk about LL Cool J with Cannabis?
Right, that's another one.
Or Cool Moe Dee.
Cool Moe Dee and LL Cool J. Yeah, man. Let's talk about that.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Go low there. Right.
Listen, all he's doing is proving my point.
Hit him up.
Right.
One of the, Hit him up is one of the few that actually said the name of the person that they were talking to. A lot of people were doing subliminals.
Right.
But Pop went right at you. He named everybody he had a problem with.
Can I ask you a question? How did it start off?
Ice Cube did.
Hold on. How did it start off? First off.
Who shot you?
No. First off, fuck kid.
Oh. Right.
Well, I mean, that's why.
Okay, let me say. That's why one of the top ones. It might be number one because he just came into the booth just unmasked.
Nasty. And that's kind of how Chris Brown came. That's why it gave me goosebumps. I like, oh, somebody else can do it like that.
Right.
It's like they actually saying names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't got to be thinking, oh, he talking about, remember that one time? No, he said, you.
But say, ain't no speculation. It ain't up in the air. Right. It ain't up for debate.
Right.
He said ABC.
I mean, if you're going to do a rap diss,
yeah,
put a name on it. Send it to the right address.
Now that much I will agree with because I don't like all that subliminal, just passive aggressive.
Stand on your stuff.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. To me, it's like cowardice, man. You know, you'll say something, but you don't really, you know, speak directly, man. Let your yays be yays and your nays be nays, man.
And like Aether is probably the best lyrical beat of this song.
Yeah,
but go listen to Aether again.
I heard Aether,
but. What happened with that beef? They started working together after that song.
Yeah, but Knox said, but it was Knox's fault. He did what he had to do. Everybody knew that Jay-Z lost that beef.
Yeah. Jay-Z won when he hired him. He signed his contract.
You beat me money-wise. But
I gave you a job, sir.
Yeah, you might give me a job, but I made you want to hire me because you had to respect me because I ate your ass up. Talk about it. Talk about it because the people already know who won that battle.
Oh, yeah.
You ask the people who
won. Cole lost before Ether came out, though.
But don't get wrong, that nigga Hov smart, though. That nigga Hov smart with that bread, though.
Shit, he probably funded Ether. He probably funded Ether. Like, damn, he snapped. We gotta make money off of this.
Nah, Herb did that.
Who?
I said Herb did. That's what messed him up.
Yeah, and I think another thing, like, kind of going back to what me and Ty were saying a little bit earlier, what came from that, and I'll use Hit 'Em Up as an example, man, it launched like a whole East Coast, West Coast type deal, and the record execs were behind that. You know, they were pushing that stuff, putting them on, XXL Magazine and Vibe Magazine and doing these little editorial pieces and stuff like that. So, you know, again, that's my only, you know, as it relates to this, again, that's my only problem with it as a whole is like, you know, the proverbial powers that be, and I'm using air quotes, push these young men and women into these, you know, they gaslight them. Put them
I wouldn't ask y'all to change at all.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't ever say anything for y'all to like change y'all views and y'all stances.
Yeah, for sure.
I want y'all to continue, you know.
Yeah.
You know, with the black community stuff. I know y'all love that.
Here we go.
Here we go. You know y'all love that shit.
Yes.
There's some other values in every lesson, though.
Yeah, we can have fun with it. You know, and that's the whole point, man. You know,
I love this type of dialogue. Yeah. You know, it strengthens each other. Iron sharpens iron.
So what do you think about Amanda Seales' interview? She said niggas don't like her.
It's like, I'm gonna be honest with you, like, oh God, I hope I don't sound the wrong way when I said
it. You don't sound like you.
So I feel like this, like, she made some good points on certain things, especially like defending people where she felt like no one defended her in certain aspects. But did it come, and I'm not saying that she's wrong for feeling that way, but it come like the interview came from a victim standpoint. Like, I'm the victim.
The whole thing, yeah.
I think she was just really trying to get people how
I'm not saying she
was talking about understanding her.
I understand her,
but what she did leave out is from the time she was a child, she was saying she was disruptive, and people always wanted to get from around her. That's another part of that she was pointing out that I don't think people paid attention to. Like, if everybody around you has been saying this all your life,
you gotta look in the mirror.
Yeah,
you might have to do that.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah,
and not saying change who you are, just change the way you communicate.
How you
right?
You can communicate yourself different. You don't have to change who you are. Just communicate it different.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
With you.
Yeah. My big thing, for sure, is facial expression. That's like number one for me. It's like the first thing that you see when I see somebody. If I see somebody who frowned all the damn time, hell no, I don't want to talk to you.
It's the energy.
You saying she was frowning on the interview?
No, I'm just saying, like, you saying she had to change, like, her tone or how she talked. But maybe it's just, like, the way she carried herself, like, maybe face-wise. I don't know. I was trying to tie two things into one.
I see what you're doing.
Okay, so do me a favor, y'all, because I'm ignorant to this. You know what I'm saying? I've heard about it, but I hadn't looked into it. So whiteboard this for me. You know, give me the rundown
of Amanda Seales.
Yeah, this whole thing.
The interview.
Yeah,
the interview.
Or just the interview.
This is with Club Cheshire,
right? Club Cheshire.
Okay.
The same one.
She's a comedian. She's an actress. She's a singer. She's a lot of things. She's multi talented.
Okay.
She was on, her most popular thing was being on Insecure.
Right. Okay. And so now, what's the whole thing? I know you kind of gave like a brief rundown of it before, but like what's her main thing? Like, what is she trying to accomplish from this?
From the interview?
Yeah, like, what's she trying to...
I don't think it was necessarily her. I think it was really Shay trying to be just what he's been. He's capitalizing off the momentum from Cat Williams.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's finding the most disagreeable people to interview.
Okay.
And with her, I think she's misunderstood in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because to me, Amanda is what's wrong with a lot of black women.
Okay. Okay.
They don't see themselves.
I got you. I got you.
But what I also understood when I was watching that interview, mm-hmm. when she was talking about her past and talking about her experiences,
yeah.
Shay jumped in and said, well, maybe you looked at it wrong. You weren't there, nigga.
Right.
You wasn't present through any of the stories she's telling you. So for you to interject your differences with her about those things.
Right.
You weren't present, and I feel like us as black men sometimes do that to women.
Okay.
When I saw that,
yeah.
when I recognized that, I saw myself.
Okay.
So, I think in some ways she's misunderstood.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways she's what's wrong with black women.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she's very controversial.
Yeah.
She's everywhere else. She always gives her opinion about current events.
Okay. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But she's in her 40s and very single for a reason.
It's also something underlining.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I would say is, you know, and I think this is something that we can all agree on, when we project these things, or when we give our opinions, mm-hmm. let's make sure that we're doing it from the point of view where, hey, I've looked in the mirror and I've done a self-assessment on myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And just from what I've heard you guys say about it, it seems like she hasn't, like, it's always someone else. You know, if she's having issues with everyone else, and it's always someone else, perhaps you should take a look and see, what am I doing to cause this? Because you're the common denominator in all of these things.
And it's not saying that the other person isn't wrong.
Right.
But what's your part in that?
Exactly, though. Yeah. Again, just take accountability.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, right. Sometimes it may not even be about you, it's just the company you hang with.
That's a good point. Energy.
Yeah,
she's a dope person though. I mean,
yeah, she's especially like a cool ass person. Like,
she's
cool.
Like, she was dating on Pusha T. She was in a relationship with him.
Okay.
Oh, man, yeah. My favorite artist.
Yeah, before they got married. Before he got married, she was with him. Mm-hmm. Before that relationship,
she dated a real lyricist.
She did the backup for she went on tour with Floyd Tree when Natalie quit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she replaced Natalie.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
When they kicked Natalie out, that's what happened. But she's a dope person. Any other news this week?
Not to my knowledge.
There's always
a lot that's going on. You know, as far as news and things like mm-hmm. that, but mm-hmm. something that I really would like to talk on since we're on the subject of news and, you know, within our community. Have any of y'all seen the Good Times reboot?
Yeah, I have not got to.
I don't want to watch it. I didn't like the original Good Times. So.
All right, let's start there, and then we can get into the actual reboot. Why didn't you like it?
Because I was living like them, and I didn't want to see it. I watched the Brady Bunch. They had food. They had a car.
See, he's.
I mean, I feel like he can't
even get it out. No. I'm being serious.
Last
okay,
scene.
Okay,
like,
okay.
That's how I felt. I didn't want to watch poverty on TV, and I was living in it. So I watched Brady Bunch. I watched The Huxtables.
Yeah.
I watched stuff like that. Okay. I didn't want to see no more poor people.
Okay. All right. What about you, Nick? Did you?
He ain't have TV in the house.
He's so silly.
Yeah, too. Did you ever watch the show?
I watched the original.
Okay. Yeah. Did you like it? Or?
It wasn't a bad show. I watched a couple of it, but I'm not a TV person.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, bro?
I watched Good Times, and it was a cool show. Of course, it wasn't a go-to favorite. No.
Yeah.
But did I understand the message of the show and everything? Yes. And I appreciate it, especially had a lot of classic people in there, like Janet Jackson and my boy John Amos.
Janet, a whole
bunch of different, you know what I'm saying? It's a role, you know what I'm saying? What's JJ?
Yeah.
Jimmy Walker. Rosewood like that.
Yeah, that was bogus for that.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, there was a lot of, like, prominent black actors and actresses mm-hmm. that was on the show. And so for that being said, it was part of the show, so it was a cool
it's
show.
It's a staple in the black community.
Yeah, because yeah. at this point, you got to think that based upon that type of show, it did it try to give it from a realistic perspective.
Yeah.
But it did also try to keep core values. Right, especially right. family.
It's not realistic at all.
No.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, T. Because I'm
on the show.
Go ahead.
Nothing's realistic.
I'll disagree with that, and I'll push back a little bit.
Go ahead.
But, you know,
I only say that because it usually be a non, you know, black director or whatnot.
I'm talking about him over
there. Yeah.
But no, man, I love the show, and these are the reasons why I like the show, is because there was a black man present. Yep. Though they were in the projects, there was a black man present in there. And now, one of the episodes, he went... They said that, you know, the episode where JJ was joining the gang. James Evans went down there and got his son. You know, he had three kids, a daughter. His daughter wasn't a whore. She didn't, you know.
She was fine.
No, she was fine as frog hair. But she wasn't, right, oh yeah. Hell but yeah. she, you know, she wasn't portrayed as that thotty type. He kept his house in order. And on the, to give a little history behind the show, Esther Rowe wasn't going to do the show until she had a husband in there. So they put John Amos in there as a husband. That was the only way that she would agree to do the show. And John Amos, on several interviews, he was saying how he almost came to blows with the writers because he is like, how is white folks going to write about, you know, a story about black folks?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was getting to.
And they ended up killing him off because of that, because he would always...
Damn.
Man, the famous saying, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he...
That comes from the show, Nick.
I know, I watched the show.
But, you know, again, to go a little bit deeper, you know, I and my wife were very fortunate enough to meet the creator of the show, or the show's creator, Mr. Eric Monte. He's still alive. He lives here in Georgia. And we got a chance to sit down with he and his family, his daughter and his granddaughter. And though he has had a couple of strokes, you know, in his... He can't speak as well as he used to. Me and him got an opportunity. You know, we went outside, and I got to talk to the brother, and, you know, he explained to me what the show was to him. You know, we talked about him growing up. He's the creator of Cooley High. That was another, he made Cooley High. He also wrote or had ideas for the Jeffersons, the characters on there, Sanford and Son.
Cooley High was about him.
Yeah, that was his life.
So he was, which character? Preach?
Yeah, he was Preach. And also, What's Happening was about, that was him after, that was based loosely on his life after Cooley High. So, I mean, I say all of that to say this. His show was, the idea and the concept was taken from him by a man called Norman Lear. And we'll talk about Norman Lear in a little bit and what he's associated with nowadays. But they took the show from him, and then they switched it up on him. It ceased to be about the nucleus of the family, and it was more about dynamite and all of that stuff.
Sure.
And John Amos, he did not like that. He wanted it to be more about, like, the, you know, the struggles, and, like, you know, he wanted to depict the real life struggles of, you know, black folks and stuff like that, but they leaned more towards JJ and they gave him a more prominent role
because it's good.
Yeah.
The impact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Causing more friction within the show to where ultimately they just wrote John Amos off and gave JJ the run of the mill. The show lasted. Go ahead.
The show lasted 15?
No, just about 4 years and then. Go ahead.
You want to tell the show I did like that people don't recognize and I just watched a clip of it?
Mm-hmm.
The show Rock.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorite shows.
Rock was a real show.
Yeah.
It showed black structure, family, stand up for things, even when it was against the odds.
Right, oh, yeah. And he was a garbage man. You know what I'm saying? His brother, Joey, was a musician.
And so it was able to show a different depiction of, like, you can still be through that struggle, but still stand on your stand.
On your morals and laurels.
Yes.
And that's why I like Good Times. That that was the initial premise of the show. Yeah. But what it... ultimately went into was something that was more driven by outside influences. You know what I'm saying? On the writing side.
Hence, now, the new Good Times.
The new Good Times. Now,
on Netflix.
I'm going to say it like this, and you can disagree with me all you want. That, I almost cussed. That is damn garbage. You know what I'm saying? And I say shame on those who are involved in it. Because, again, the Monte family and the Evans family. Mike Evans. Mike Evans was the real, I call him the real Lionel, off of the Jeffersons. Mm-hmm. He and Eric Monte were friends. He actually helped Eric Monte pitch Good Times to Norman Lear. And see, the thing about that is, we have a relationship with these people. Mike Evans, he passed away, but, you know, his daughter is in communication with the Monte family, and, like, they're staunchly against this misrepresentation of their father's ideas. And that's why I'm so against this new show. It's modern day coolery.
So let's address what you were saying in the beginning explanation of Good Times. I think in some ways they may have been right about not making it so heavy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Dynamite, without Dynamite, without JJ, I don't think I would have got through an episode.
But it was still good, though. Even
without JJ's character.
Yeah, because of the issues that they addressed. You know what I'm saying? Again, Michael being bullied.
Was it a social cause? It was a show, or was it supposed to be entertaining? Because it was on TV.
It was entertaining, but again, just like the Cosby Show, they put the goodness behind it. They put the, you know.
On the back burner.
Yeah, on the back burner, there was a social message. Like when Michael was being bullied, they invited the bully to the house, and then James ended up whooping the bully. You know what I'm saying? He gave him a whooping. And that was the thing, and then he and Michael became friends. You know what I'm saying? Afterwards, so there were different episodes and stuff like that, and how the show ended. Thelma ended up, all of them ended up leaving the project.
Yeah. I thought something happened at the end.
Mm-mm.
And they ended up staying.
No, remember, Thelma was married to Keith. They moved.
The football player.
Yeah.
And that got injured.
Yeah, but he had got, I think he either got another contract or something, but they ended up moving, and then the Janet Dubois character ended up moving next door to them. Esther Rolle came back, because remember, she had got married and left, but then they had wrote her back in to where her and Wilona, Thelma and Keith, they were all neighbors in the new community. Out of the projects, Michael went on to school to be, if I'm not mistaken, a lawyer, and JJ went on to be a famous artist. So that's how the show ended. It ended on a positive note. Fast forward to today, how the hell they back in the projects at the same damn apartment?
Well, they just doing a redo of the show, right? So they're starting from the beginning.
That ain't the beginning. That JB Smoove.
Same characters?
No, JB Smoove is the grandson of James Evans. Yeah, and so
they put the family back
in the damn projects in the same apartment. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, one of the
you do get to pick in the project where you want to stay.
But see, his Eric Monte's family was not consulted, nor was Mike Evans' daughter consulted with this. You know what I'm saying?
They're not getting paid?
No. They just, well, I'm not going to say because I don't know. I don't know that aspect for sure. I don't know that. But from my understanding, there is no compensation to them. They weren't even consulted by this. And see, that's what pisses me off.
Yeah, I seen JJ and Thelma's in it.
Yeah, they had little small parts, but even like when you hear Bernadette Stannis' interview, it's like a small part, and like they weren't even consulted. They just kind of told them, hey, this is what we want to do, blah, 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 you know, to kind of get them in, and then they did some voiceovers. But I don't even think those, because I didn't watch it, I don't even think those characters were prominently portrayed. You got a whole new generation of kids who never grew up watching the original Good Times and understanding what the creator intended. Now you got, on his last thing, Norman Lear greenlight this, you got Seth MacFarlane, you got Stephen Curry. You got
Steph Curry.
Yes, yes, the basketball player, and I lost a lot of respect for him.
He's in the show.
He's on the. He's an EP. I think he's an executive producer. Okay. Yeah, it was created by Renata Shepherd, and Steph Curry was a. He's an executive producer. Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, and Norman Lear authorized and greenlit it. And so these are the creators of this. And I'm using air quotes, content that they put out. And to me, man, like, I am diametrically opposed to it. Hmm. Yeah.
So to summarize, how y'all feel about it?
I feel like they got Steph Curry because they feel like he was going to bring in the viewers that they wanted. which was, you know, us, mm-hmm. especially the younger viewers.
Somebody, had to walk in. Somebody had to walk in the Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
Steph is a big name.
A huge name, especially in, like, entertainment.
Yeah.
So,
you've been Steph. I think his first show was the one he did with the golfing. Steph Curry. He did that. He's been in TV for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been introducing TV shows. So that's just like a money grab for him because mm-hmm. everybody trying to get behind his name.
Yep. And I feel like that's another tactic that they're just using his name to bring in the black crowd and the younger crowd as well.
Yeah. And this was from, I watched a review of it on YouTube. In one of the scenes, and this, I think this is on the first episode, you got the J.B. Smoove character. He's in the shower singing the theme song of the original with a roach. Now, for whatever reason, he jumps out of the shower. I don't know if the shower was too hot or the hot water went off or whatever. He run out in front of his daughter and the family, and they're naked. You know what I'm saying? Him and the roach and singing the things for good time, and then the hot water go off or whatever. He run outside butt naked. You know, in front of his child. I mean, the optics are all bad. And I don't like, what I don't like is how, and I'm just going to read, this is, I got this from the Independent. Independent, it's a UK online magazine. And one of the showrunners says, here, I know you're used to the sweet sitcom, but it's not only a reimagination. It's in a different genre that requires it to be loud and offensive. Now,
go ahead.
That said, I just want to add this. This is a quote from Fred Hampton. And this is speaking of, and Fred Hampton said, we are not a racist, and who, for those of you who don't know who Fred Hampton was the chairman of, he was Chairman Fred, right? He was of the Chicago branch of the Black Panthers. Yeah. He was murdered by the Chicago police, and I don't care what nobody say. He was murdered, you know what I'm saying, in the middle of the night. Anyway, Fred Hampton said, we are not a racist organization, but we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just, it's a byproduct of capitalism. So again, man, when they put all of these images and stuff like that, they doing it for the money. You know what I'm saying? But my point and my disgust comes from us allowing ourselves to be used, promoting these stereotypical images all for your almighty dollar. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm so opposed to this, and that's why I will continually be opposed to this and other TV shows like it, man, because it's not right. Now, some people say, well, Family Guy, blah, 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 blah. That, the child Stewie in Family Guy is a genius. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This child, I'm going to say this, I'm going to leave it be. Mm-hmm. That child on one of the episodes of Family Guy, he created the universe. He started the Big Bang with his time machine. On Good Times, you got a crack dealing baby. They kicked the baby out the house because he was selling crack.
He's selling crack.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I got a whole bunch of other, but I don't want to take up all the time. So, you know, I was
going through it, man, because there's a lot of stuff we can talk about.
So with that being said, mm-hmm. you know, I will say this. The show, I think that it's not picking up where the old show left off.
It's not
from a positive direction. So. Yeah. With that being said, you know, we'll just end it on that note. So I will say this. So I want to bring up something right quick. So I saw the video regarding, you know, the particular feminist
mm-hmm.
in regards to how she felt how they were the prize in so many words, and that the particular guy.
Yeah, again, that last part.
They were the prize. They are the prize as far as from a sense of. You know, it wasn't from a standpoint that she made points that was from factual, it was just from an entitlement standpoint, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that it was a brother on there who had to let her know that, no, we are the prize based upon these different things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I asked myself when I watched that video, how many positive brothers, not guys that ain't doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You ain't being a provider, a protector, you're not doing those things, but like true good guys.
Yeah.
Like how many people really know the value of themselves, mm-hmm. right? And how many guys are willing to stand on that? Because you got a lot of people who will use manipulation in order to get what they want. You see that a lot. especially from these entitled women.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the good sisters. We only talk about entitled women. So if it doesn't, the shoe don't fit, then you all right. But from the entitled women. Because, you know, we got to put that bullshit out there because everybody want to put themselves in the category. So fuck all that shit.
So what you saying?
So what I'm saying is this, dog, is that at the end of the day, that you got to understand your worth and know who the hell you are. You got a lot of women who think because they lay with you and they think because they wear the titles of girlfriend and wife, they think that they do something. No, you're not. You're just there. It's just like almost taking a roll call. Hey,
wow.
Is so-so in there? Yes, I'm here. What the fuck are you doing to add to the value of the relationship between our family?
Oh, okay. Nah, I misunderstood. I was like, damn. Nah, I understood what you said. Okay.
It took me a while, but I wanted to get us that though.
No. The last part. I understood everything else. I was like, did he just say that?
I did.
But then I understood that I missed something in what you said.
I'm not
business. Like, they were just that. If you just laying here or just being present, you're a prize because you're present. So I get it. That's first, right. I thought you said, you know,
say it.
You ain't nothing without me. That's what I thought you were saying at first.
I'm not saying it from that standpoint. No, but what I am saying is that you got a lot of people think because they get the title of being the girlfriend or the wife or this and that, and they think that they mean it. But what are you doing to sustain it and make this shit evolve?
If you don't got no ring on it, you ain't made nothing.
So, because you got
like a wife too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying all these things. Yeah. You got a lot of women who, and the reason why I'm saying, because when you listen to the video,
yeah,
you should share that shit.
That's why you couldn't leave. I wanted you to intro this thing right.
Right.
I was like, please let him get to it.
Because when you watch the video, we should share. Should we share?
I'm going to put it on the page.
Share. Yeah. I want y'all to give me your thoughts on this shit. Because, again, she's not coming from a standpoint of even, I didn't hear one damn thing that she brought to the table.
Right.
Nick, because you know this is your shit.
Yeah.
What do you think? Then, I mean, I could be wrong. But this is my own personal opinion, based upon how I internalize how I, what I received from it. Yep. What do you think, Slick?
Man, listen. That goes back to old lady with the interview. Like, that's that self-entitlement shit. Like,
okay, old lady, you think, with what interview? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Club Sunshine interview.
Oh,
you're talking about Matt?
Yeah. Like, that's that entitlement shit. Like, they understand man can't live without woman, woman can't live without man.
Right.
But if we had to, man could essentially live without woman, without reproducing, you know what I mean? So, with her, everything is about what the man can do, this and that. Cool, we have to work hard, we do the long hours, we still come on, do this, do that. What do you bring? If it's just good looks and kit and cat.
This one I'm lost at. So tell me what was said on the video, like for the audience that's listening. They don't know what y'all are talking about. What exactly was said?
So many words. It was more like, because I am the woman, because I'm a woman.
Exactly.
Because I show up. Because that's what I took from it.
Yeah.
Nah, not what you took, but what was said.
If I can't say verbatim, because I mean I have to really listen to it. But I'm trying to. Mm-hmm.
Short
do like a short, oh, like
yeah,
short paraphrase it, summarize. That from a standpoint, I didn't really hear anything from a relationship standpoint outside, because I'm a woman, and because of me being a woman, that these are things I'm deserving of having, and because of my presence, of me just being a feminine woman, these are things that I'm entitled to have, and these are things I should not do. These are things you should do.
So
it's almost from a standpoint. Yeah, it's more like because I'm a woman, I'm the prize. And since I'm the prize, these are things you need to do to continue to maintain the prize. And the brother had to let her know, no, we are the prize based upon these parameters.
I got like two videos in my head, and I'm not sure which one.
He talking about both of them, the ones that we watched earlier this week.
Yeah, and I watched them earlier this week. So
y'all go ahead.
So, did you watch the video?
Yeah, I looked at both of them.
So you know exactly what was said.
Not exactly, but to summarize, basically, she was saying that, you know, both of them were kind of saying the same thing. True. And I'm going to give my opinion on it. Both of them were coming from opposite ends of the spectrum. The woman was saying, I'm the woman, I'm the prize, blah, 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 I'm this, I'm that, I'm, you know, it, you know, all of this. The man was saying the same thing. And to me, that's the problem. Everyone thinks too highly of themselves.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it ceased, in my opinion, when you come together with a woman and you make that covenant, like we talked about last week, when you make that agreement to say, look, I, as a man, I'm going to provide for you. I am taking the authority from your father, because this is why in the marriage ceremony, you have the father give the bride away to the husband, because the father ceases to have that authority over the woman, and he's giving that authority to the man, right? So with that said, I understand the role that I have as a man to protect, provide, and to care for my wife, and to assume all of the responsibilities that her father had. You know what I'm saying? This is why. And a lot of these kids don't understand that you want to make it about you. Exactly. That's what I got from listening to both of them. Both of them were coming on opposite ends of the spectrum saying, oh, I'm this, I'm that. He was saying, I'm this, I'm that. No. Man is not independent of woman. Woman is not independent of man. When the two come together, the two become one flesh. And that one flesh moves forward together.
And they, I think part of the issue with relaying that to people, mm-hmm. especially the younger people, mm-hmm. and even people our age now, mm-hmm. that
we still young.
We make it seem like that is all.
Right.
Like, that's it. Like, you're just a provider and protector.
Right.
That's who you are. That's what you do.
Right.
And that's all of you. Like, right. that's the only right. thing you were right. born to do.
Right.
Nothing else. And then the woman, nurturer, mother, maid.
Right.
Like, it's so much more to both of us than just those things.
Right.
Those are roles. Those are assignments.
Right. Right.
That's not who you are.
Right.
And the thing is, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to make sure I clear this up. So both the videos, the one with the female, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about it, you got to understand the foundation where you come from.
Yeah.
The first thing she said was, and I'm not knocking anyone to each his own, but she had no spiritual guides because she said, I don't believe in anything. So with that being said, where is your foundation?
Exactly.
Built up she sand. Has no, and so, and then when she said what she said, and she feel like that we were to create,
because
mm-hmm. that was her thing, was to create. Then what are you doing based upon your actions that show you're trying to create anything? You ain't created nothing,
right? Right.
And then that's when the dude came in and let her, the rebuttal was to let her know, no, we don't. And that if you're trying to create them, and that if y'all purpose of y'all being around is to create, then why 70% of y'all initiate divorces right now?
Hey. Right. Right.
So that was the point he was making. And then the second video was the guy was talking about more or less than brothers and self-loving yourself.
Right.
That was the main reason why I put that video out there, because the dude was talking about we got to realize we are the prize, as far as not from a competition standpoint, but from a standpoint where I'm a leader. I know what I bring to the table. Whoever come along this journey, I'm not saying on some arrogant shit, because I know I'm a person that's tapped in with the creator.
Right.
I know that my morals is on point.
Right.
I know that anybody that come along with me, I'm not guiding them to damnation. Anything, I'm trying to guide them to happiness, peace, and prosperity.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, don't let anyone guilt trip you to do shit that you know ain't right for their own personal benefit. And that's what you're seeing now. It's a lot of manipulation.
What's an example of guilt tripping you?
Okay, so for instance, I want to go on this trip to Aruba, and I know that at this point, no, we don't need to do that, because we need to focus on trying to establish our credit right now.
Right.
Well, I want to do it because, Westwood College is doing it, so why the fuck you can't do it? Because right now, me and you have a bigger plan of what we're trying to accomplish. Is that not what we talked about?
Yeah.
But no, I don't care nothing about that. I want to do what the fuck I want to do.
It's manipulation.
Yeah.
You don't feel like I'm worthy of that?
Yeah.
And not only that, man, y'all not on the same level. You know what I'm saying? Because you got your eye on what the Jones is doing. That be damn, man.
And, yeah. And how many people operate on it today? Oh, this right. is social. We're talking about today.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That's yeah. why I use yeah. that analogy.
Yeah.
Because what I'm trying to get people to understand is I ain't talking about all brothers, we all have potential. And I'm talking about the brothers because this is the outlet for the brothers right now. This episode's for the brothers. The episode's for the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is this. For the ones that do what they're supposed to do, for the ones that know that they are holding down and being an example,
mm-hmm.
are you standing on that shit when shit get hard, when the woman is, or the person who you with is trying to manipulate you to do something that you know is totally against the grain for their own benefit?
And
are you standing on that shit?
Shut up. If it's not you, shut up.
Right.
Don't be sitting up here talking about what you're supposed to get and how you're supposed to be treated. You sound just like them.
Exactly. Right.
And I want to interject something.
Absolutely.
Please. So, I hear that. Do you think that's the, like, that with that example, do you think that's like the main, that's the plight of the black woman?
Yes, I'm sorry, please.
So, that being the example you used was going on a trip. From a majority of what I hear is, and it's just me, what I hear is women just trying to get a brother to contribute to the household, to take on the responsibility of being the man of the house.
I get what you're saying.
I'm going to add on to what you... So, I'll answer that question. From that aspect...
Go ahead.
From that aspect, that's a sister that's unless you got her shit in order. I'm just going based upon the fact that it sounds like she's the one that's contributing and he's the one that's not. So it's more of a, are you stepping up to the plate situation, right? So in that aspect, then that's how I'm looking at it. I'm talking about, in this. So in that aspect, she has a right to say something. If I'm the one that all the pressure being put on me, you're not contributing, yes, you have a right to bring that up, absolutely. But we're talking about from the standpoint from the brothers who holds it down, who do what they're supposed to do, who have been an example, who is a provider and everything like that, and you're dealing with, unfortunately, a woman who don't appreciate that, who doesn't see that, only wants you to do what the fuck she wants you to do. That's what I'm talking about. This self-entitlement shit like we talked about from that first video.
Now, you can apply that to the woman that's like that too.
Yeah, right.
You can apply that. She can still be the same way. But this is also on the contributing side.
Right. So yeah, go ahead.
Ciao, guys.
I want to add on to what he said about the verse when he said when both come together as one flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way I see it, how majority of women see that.
Go ahead.
No, it's about the same thing, yeah. I'm tying it in. I'm just tying it all in. But look, I'm just saying because when you expect us to come with this and that, right? You expect me to come as one flesh, and for when you go into a relationship and when you marry me, you're just that one flesh. So what are you, just a leech? Because if you're not coming as my other half, and I think we always focusing on, okay, what do you bring to the table? No, what do you bring to the table? If you just focus on what you need to do to bring, you know what I mean, to make the whole table, we won't be having these arguments and, you know, situations and shit like that, you know what I mean?
I get that.
So that's right. Okay. I just want to... And I like that you said that, Nick. You know what you bring to
the table, not.
Which, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. You need to be the table. Like, I know what I need to work on, and I'm gonna focus on that. And you already know what you need to work on to focus on that. And when you come together, we become that one flesh.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, to all the young brothers out there, and just brothers in general out there, you know, when we say we want to make sure we're bringing something to the table, make sure you're inviting the right person to the table. Exactly. I would say that first. And I just want to throw, you know, a scripture out there real quick. This is Proverbs 18:22. And I know y'all heard that before. For those of you who haven't, you haven't heard Proverbs 18:22?
No.
Okay.
Since you want to be all scripture.
Let me go ahead and throw Proverbs 18:22. It says, He who has found a wife has found good. He who has found a wife has found good and receives favor from the Almighty. Now, to continue on from that, you go to Proverbs 31. If you read the entire chapter of Proverbs 31, it tells you the type of woman. If you are looking for a good woman, this tells you what type of woman to look for. I'm not going to read it all because we're pressed for time, but I would say at your own leisure, if you're truly looking for the right woman, have some type of guidelines of type. Looks be damned. My wife is fine. You know what I'm saying? But before that, my wife is a woman. You know what I'm saying? She's fine mentally. She's fine spiritually, and she's fine physically. You know what I'm saying? And I'm definitely
Is she like you?
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm like I say toda ya, or I thank ya every day. You know what I'm saying? That I did find it because I found a capable woman.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And
that's the thing, man. I found a capable woman. I wasn't concerned with, you know, money and all of that, because I knew together we would make that.
We can build something together, man.
Yeah, we can build something, man. You know, I wanted to find a woman who was on my level spiritually. I'm not going to, you know, find someone who I can't take with me to, you know, someplace and have to worry about her embarrassing me with what she say, or worse yet, lashing out or being disruptive or anything like that.
So are you the prize?
We're both the prize. Our union is the prize, and that's how we both think about it.
That ain't what T said. You the prize.
Well, I'm not
That's what he said.
We're both the prize.
The prize, right, T?
I'm the prize to her, and she's the prize to me. I know what T's saying, dude.
That's what I got from what he said.
We're both the prize.
He's just reciting the video.
You know, and the prize is the union. That's the prize. The prize is what's to come.
The trophy is you.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Hold on, what?
The trophy is her. Like, at the... So we're both the prize, right?
That's some real shit.
But we're both the prize, but as I
said, y'all got me there.
Right.
But we're both the prize, I agree. But how I see my woman.
That ain't how you really feel.
That's how I really feel.
Slick, how you really feel.
That's how I really feel, bro. We both the prize, but I'm just saying, we're the body that's one. You're first place and you're second place. No, I'm first place, you're second place.
No, we're
first place.
Right, and see, that's the point, Nick. Exactly. Say it again.
You're going to it as, okay, yes, when I say your trophy, I'm not saying this and that. We're both first place.
Right.
But how we looking at it, like how everybody's looking at it is, I'm first place, you're second place. No, we're both first place. We're both trophies. We're both a prize.
Right,
like, together, we're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A gift basket don't come with
together,
just...
Together, y'all are entertainment center. I get it.
I just want to say this, from my standpoint, of course, that both parties are supposed to be the prize.
Right.
But I think that the problem is that a lot of society have made what good guys are simps. I'm saying is, don't let the manipulation of pressure, because I need you to do this to prove that you are worth something to me.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, these dumbass decisions that black brothers, these good guys make.
Right.
Because they want to try to prove something. Stand on your shit and know that you are the prize. That's what I'm talking about.
Because
you are too.
Right.
You are too. Like, fuck.
No, I'm just trying to make sure I understand that he's saying that he's the prize too.
Yeah,
of course. But even in a situation,
so you ain't the only one out here. That's
but even if you're in a situation where she ain't shit, and you the one that's the one that got more, I'm the fucking prize.
Why in the hell you choose that if that's what you want?
Everybody's not in every situation is the same.
Right.
You got a situation where guys are in a situation where both people are the prize.
Yeah.
And you got some guys who don't know their self-worth that choose to settle less.
Right.
And deal with bullshit that they're not supposed to deal with. And they don't know how to escape.
Bring them up out of this.
But that's the...
And that's the point. Now, if you had a capable woman or if you had a capable man, if they see that you have flaws, they're going to be there to build you up, not to tear you down.
Not to call you out.
That's
where that...
Right. That's the... There you go.
I'm going to quote Kevin Savin when he said...
What?
Go ahead, bro.
When he says, okay, when a woman finds a man, right, and she does everything what she needs to do, and she finds a man, they get married, congratulations.
Yeah.
Like, you won in life. Like, you won in life. You got what most can't see.
Exactly.
The end goal.
And most ain't gonna get
it. Exactly.
Can I advocate for the devil?
No,
don't advocate for that. Play antithesis. Go ahead. There you go.
I can't spell that, but I get it.
There you go. Yeah, you be the opposite.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? You coming in opposition.
Go ahead.
So silly.
Quickly.
So.
Did you just?
Yeah. Okay. I had to change it. Right. Yeah. So.
You're so stupid. Now I'm messing with you.
So. Go ahead. So. I'll tell you a story, I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had a client. And this client mirrored what I see in a lot of black men.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to leave his family. He wanted to leave his family not because his wife wasn't shit,
mm-hmm.
not because his kids wasn't his,
mm-hmm.
and not because... he had been bamboozled into a marriage or anything crazy
like that.
He wanted to leave his family and he couldn't even put his finger on it. But he wanted to leave his family because of the responsibility of having them.
Mm.
Which is what I see in a lot of black men.
Huh.
On the other side.
Good point.
How? You want your wife to be this. You want the woman that's there to be all of these things.
Right.
She should cook, she should clean, she should nurture, she should care, she should be all of these things.
Right.
But you're not willing to be what you're ordained to be, too.
Oh, yeah. I agree. It
goes and you're ways. Asking, I'm not, that's why yeah, I said advocate yeah. for the devil.
Yeah.
Because we keep focusing, black men are so focused on what black women are not doing,
right.
what they are not right. anymore.
Right.
But we aren't focused on what we're doing. Did you build a home for them?
Good point.
Do you have your career in order?
Good point. That's good shit.
Yeah.
Are you taking care of your fatherly and husband duties daily?
Self-accountability.
Okay.
Are you doing what you're supposed to do biblically?
I'm with you.
Hey. If you're not doing that, get out her face.
I'm on the train with you. I'm with you. Yeah.
That's what I'm, you yeah. know what I mean?
I agree. Because
if you're worrying about her being everything that God ordained her to be.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be a woman. You should shut up.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not doing everything that God ordained you to be, and you want him to be everything that God ordained him to be.
Yep, I agree.
And I feel like these things, the responsibility of the ordination
yep.
is the real problem in most of these relationships.
Yeah.
You don't want to be everything that you were called to be.
Yeah.
Your purpose is not fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem truly lies, because you can't look in the damn mirror.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm with you. And see, like T was saying, that girl, she said she don't believe in nothing. And see, I can't be around a woman like that who don't believe in nothing.
You're going to find a fault in everything if you don't believe in nothing.
I mean, for real. You know what I'm saying? You ain't spiritually rooted. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no type of foundation. You just blow with the breeze. You got the attention span of a goldfish. I can't be with nobody like that. You know what I'm saying? You don't read.
But she fine. And she'll spread her legs. She look good at the dinner table.
Man, that's the problem now.
Most of us choose our women based on that.
Yeah.
And a lot of tribes, including myself,
yeah.
we have chosen the exterior over the interior.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You pulling up to a property that you finna buy a house.
Yeah.
And you didn't even go inside.
Sight unseen. You gonna purchase.
You just... Yeah. Oh, they cut the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
The paint look good. The shutters
the
on.
The curb appeal is immaculate.
Yes. It's in the cul-de-sac.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
you ain't go inside to see the
it's on 12 acres, boy. Woo.
Yeah. But you ain't go inside to see that the sheetrock is down.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't no foundation in there.
Ain't no flooring.
It's bare bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like an unfinished basement all the way through the house.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And you're complaining about what you chose.
Right. Now, I'll take that one step further. Let's say you make that decision. Let's say you make that decision. Yeah. You bought that house. And now you ain't even trying to clean the damn house up. You want to live in that filth. You ain't trying to hang no sheetrock. Or you ain't trying to drop the ceiling or finish the ceiling. And add new porch. There you go.
Ordination.
Yeah. Yeah, because you best believe.
You don't step in it.
There you go.
Make it work.
You got to.
Fix it.
You got to.
That's what we've been called to do, men.
Yes, sir.
Fix it.
Stand up. Stand up.
You chose this. This woman has your children.
Yeah.
This woman has your last name.
Yeah.
She has your address.
Yeah.
You chose this heifer.
Yeah, man.
God damn
that. Hey, man, I'm with it. I'm
you know
with
what
it.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you chose it.
I'm with it.
You got to make it work.
Yeah, you got to, man.
And the only way you're going to make it work is with God in your chest.
You
that's
to,
the only way you're going to make
led.
It work.
You got to be led by the Spirit.
And what I mean by God in your chest, if you're not falling in line with what your purpose is and what you were ordained to be, you are going to have it hard with everybody you come across.
Regardless.
Everybody.
Regardless. And a lot of people like to laugh and poke fun and make fun of, what they call the religious mindset or whatever, or being...
T-Gone.
He's so stupid.
You told us don't say that.
Right. You know, y'all, people want to make fun of that, but you know what, man? I'd rather be rooted in faith. I'd rather walk this earth as a man of faith, knowing that I have something waiting for me if I live my life according to these morals and laws, than just blowing with every wind of doctrine or just going with everything, man. You know?
So who's the prize?
Who's the prize?
We both are.
We both the prize. As a man, my wife is the prize. And my wife would tell you the exact same about me. As a woman,
exactly.
I'm the prize because we've chosen each other. And together we've built a foundation.
That's right.
And now we're building this house brick by brick, piece by piece, laying that mortar down. We may mess up. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I can't paint. You know what I'm saying? I may have to go and throw another coat on the wall or whatever, but I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I've invested in it. You know, and I'm not, to me, I want to see a return on my investment. I don't throw good money after bad. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to, you know, do whatever. I'm going to ride it out, man. We're going to make it work.
So, and you, your final note on that? Who's the prize, Nick?
We both are the prize. We both are the trophies. Yeah, man. My trophy for working hard, for what I do, what I go to work for. And you are the prize, too. You take care of the house, the kids, me, lots of that. So we're both the prize. And at the end of the day, we're both going to win.
That's it?
Yeah. And you?
Well, since you asked. the relationship and the acknowledgement of the presence of God is the prize. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For me, and I think I just grew in this conversation that we put too much onus on the other person's role in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time we can truly put that in the right perspective is with the acknowledgement and the presence of God in your life. So I would vote neither one of us the prize.
I get you.
Because
yeah.
we are nothing without him. And because of him, we can be something.
Look at him getting all religious.
So Yeah. That's a dope topic. I struggled with that topic all week. Like, what in the world do I have to offer to that conversation?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it, but I was like, I'll just see what he got from me when we talk about it.
Yeah, that's it, man. Ultimately, the kingdom is the prize. Yeah. But we're going to get that together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she's my earthly prize in anticipation, in expectation of the kingdom of heaven. You know what I'm saying? And me being allowed to enter that kingdom through my righteous acts. Both by, you know, taking care of her, taking care of my family. And, again, like we talked about, that golden rule, man. Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Not how they do you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what a lot of us get it twisted at. I tried to have a conversation about that one time we said that before.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, some people interpret that like how they treat you.
Right.
It's how you should treat them. No, 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 my brother.
Right.
It's how they're supposed to treat. You treat them how you would want for them to treat you, right. Not how they treat you.
Right, right. Because vengeance isn't yours anyway.
No.
So, you know, you can't take it out on nobody, you know. Now, don't get me wrong, we ain't going to be holding hands and, you know what I'm saying, and singing Come By Yah. We ain't going to be doing that, you know what I'm saying. If we can't get along, then we can't get along. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if it's time for us to separate, then so be it. But, you know, I'm going to try to be a brother and avail myself as much as possible, or just be a good person. You know, now if I see this person ain't treating me right, I'm going to go ahead and get away from
her. Are y'all still brother and sister when you married?
Who that?
Like, you know, I know we all brothers in Christ and then sisters in Christ. Are we brothers? Are we siblings?
No.
No, we not? I'm just curious. Because I don't want to be incest.
No, she's my wife. No, she's my sister. No, man.
Why you fall for that?
Yeah, I was see, you know what? Yeah.
Right into it.
Right. I let my guard down with that. That's
it. I was quiet.
You turned your neck on me.
I said, what?
What? Right. I was like, wait, hold on.
I just see all the question marks all over his head. Like,
right.
What the hell we don't get on to, man?
What kind of question is
that? Yeah, man. But, you know. Hey, family, man, I hope you guys enjoy these shows because... What?
I got my top five, bro.
Oh, bring it on, man. Come on.
Top five do's and don'ts.
Okay.
Or, if you want to call them red flags, in dating. Top five.
Too much self. And let me explain that. It's all about me, 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 me.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to this woman, you know what I'm saying? If I'm talking to a woman and I say, hey, baby, you know, blah, 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 if we're dating or whatever, and then I say something, and then the conversation always stems around you, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, man.
Yeah, then, she ain't got no room for you, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna have to part ways. So that's mine right there. Too much self involved. You know, not saying that you can't be, you know, not saying that you can't have an identity, but like when it's always about you, you know what I'm saying? It's all, you know, the whole world is coming against you, then you work that out, you know. So that would be my entry for that.
Moms would be, if she have a child, how's the relationship with the father?
Hmm.
Like the father with his child and the father with you, like do y'all have a close relationship? Is it, you know, cordials between you two? does he take care of his kids? Does he not? Because if he don't, then I already know.
Right.
On my part, I know I'm going to do double, you know what I mean? Right. What he got to do. But is he is in the child's life?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, because, you mean, that's a big factor. Like,
yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
You have to have a man in the child's life. So, I mean, are you not? So, I got to feel like how I'm doing. But, yeah, that's what you want to boss.
Okay.
The spirit of that right there, I'm going to say, talking about your ex.
Yeah.
What type of man? Yeah. What are you into?
Hey, man. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Right.
And if there's any women listening, and I think I can comfortably speak for us, we don't care on the first date.
Right.
I don't care about your ex.
Right.
But why are you talking to me about that?
But to that, if you talking dirty about that man and all of that,
it says a lot about you.
Right. It says a lot about you.
Yes. I got to go vice versa on that, too. Like, same with the man.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, same for sure.
It's the same. It's a man show, but it's the same both ways.
Yeah. It was one instance, man. We lived in Louisiana. Man. It was this one instance. In Louisiana, where my wife was speaking to a woman. She was married, and it was her and my wife. And this woman, she was married to this man. Now, to my wife, she dogging this dude.
That's the craziest thing to me.
I was like, my wife told me that. I said, "Yo,
I've done it."
But yeah, that
was, I'm saying, go ahead and say what you gotta say.
That, to me, I was wrong. Yeah, of course. That told me everything I needed to know about that woman in that instance. I already kind of discerned a little bit, like, watch out for her, because, you can tell these things. But when my wife told me that, man, I wasn't shocked, but I was just like, wow, why are you even with them then? You know what I'm saying? If you're, and then, like, damn, you say that, you imagine what you would do when you're mad at them. You know what I'm saying? Or when you divorced from them. Or whatever. So that
probably working hard.
Yeah.
You're probably talking good things about
him. Yeah, he's a good brother. Yeah,
I think a lot of so called believers, the actions that they have, even if you got to the point that you choose to leave your marriage and get a divorce. In the courtroom and during the process of that divorce, you should still remember that you are a believer in God.
Oh, yeah.
That you are calling yourself His, that you belong to Him, calling yourself saved, however you word it. But during that process, if you're not carrying yourself like a believer, you're just as bad as they are.
Actually, you're worse, because you're supposed to have understanding of the scriptures. You're worse, man. Yeah. You're worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
That made me instantly think, like, I got in more trouble for what I already knew than what I didn't know.
Yeah, and that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And it
saddens me to see a lot of saved women and women calling themselves Christians. And they carry themselves in the midst of, like, diversity, and even men, even men, because since I've regained my relationship with God, I carry myself in ways that didn't say so,
right?
But we have to look again that damn mirror.
Yeah, man.
You have to go back to that mirror.
Yeah.
So, what's another one that don't do on?
Past experiences, I would say. This is not that dissimilar from what you were talking about, what, but just past experiences, bringing all that baggage, man. They like, yo, like, that ain't me. You know what I'm saying? Stop bringing preconceived prejudices or preconceived notions into the relationship.
I'm not your enemy.
I mean, for real, this is supposed to be a new chapter or whatever.
Your past.
Yeah, your past. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's for both men and women, man. Stop bringing, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just because you've been through this with people.
Right.
Been in these situations with people. And you're starting something. If you're truly scarred by that past experience, you shouldn't be on this date right now.
I mean, for real.
Stay on the bench.
That's a good ass point.
Yeah, man.
That's the best point. If you know you sprained your wrist, why the hell are you trying to check in?
I mean, for real.
Because it ain't always just your ex, right? Sometimes, and we've all dated women. Sometimes it's your family.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's some friends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's all sorts of things that people use as an excuse for their behavior.
Right.
In current situations.
Right, yeah.
Like, that has, if I wasn't present, you have to realize that before you sit here with me and be present with me.
Right.
Because you're not present with me. You're still there.
Right, yeah.
if you're still talking about it with that much passion and enthusiasm and, mm-hmm. and wherewithal about all of that stuff that happened,
yeah.
you're not here with me.
Oh, yeah. It's like that old school song, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town.
Some of them have nice bodies,
though. He's so sad. Yeah.
Yeah, man. What's another one I can think of? Things that, there's so many things that we should, you know, choosing a woman in your life, fellas, it should be just as important as you choosing your home, your cars, yeah. your jobs. It'll actually more important
so, yeah,
than those things. But if you can put all that energy, I see dudes when they go buy a car, they go up under the car, they go up through all that.
Right.
But you can pop up with a woman that I ain't see you with last week.
That you don't swipe right to meet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This is my wife. Yeah. This wife is right here.
You know?
Like, hold on, player. But yeah, I was with you when you bought a car. We was doing that for 2 weeks.
The Carfax, you know what I'm saying?
Like, hold on. Slow down.
Yeah, man.
Slow down a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Not saying that you got to wait forever. Because I don't, you know, what my grandma used to say, it don't take you that long to change your drawers.
That's right.
But take your time, take intentional time with somebody. Not take your time, make intentional time with people when you're choosing them as a partner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it don't matter if it's a week or a year.
Right.
Ask the right questions, spend enough time with them so that you can be assured by this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you got the opportunity, man, meet the family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and friends.
Yeah.
Show me your friends.
Yeah. I'm
glad y'all brought that up.
Show me your friends. I'll show you who you are. Whoever you spend the most time with in your most comfortable environments, because a lot of people spend a lot of time with their family.
Right, right.
But then when you see them, like, let their hair down, they usually do with a select few.
Right.
Spend a little time around those people.
Oh, yeah.
And see how they are then.
Yeah.
That was going to be my last one. My last one is how you treat your family and how you are with your friends. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
That'll tell you who they are.
Man.
That's right.
I done had a woman talk crazy to their mom, their dad, disrespect. I'm like, hold on. You this damn destructive with your own blood.
I mean, for real.
Shit. Because you even talk to me like that.
Yeah. Damn, sure ain't.
I can't stand people that curse in front of their parents. Man. Maybe that's a Southern in
me. I know.
Cursing and... like, you saying F that and then all this. I'm like, your mama sitting right there.
I know folks who call their mom like, bitch. I said, what?
Ooh,
what?
No.
Ooh, I think my heart is dropping on my child. I said, ooh. Mm.
Don't talk like that in front of your... like, for real?
Man. My heart be dropping. I'm even like, now, yeah, we're not going to work out.
Yeah, even now, man, I'm 46 years old, man. I ain't cussing in front of my parents.
Right. Still, to this day.
Right.
Okay.
Man, listen, and even if I mess up and say damn or something like that, I'll be like, I'm sorry.
Damn, hell.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
My bad.
Some acknowledgement.
Yeah.
That I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
And some people just do it freely like that. And I think that's part of it, too. Because we don't respect each other enough. We also, you know, if, how can I tie that together? Because of the respect we have for everyone. It ties in, like, you can't have respect for no one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if that makes sense.
Because yeah.
I think about things in habit. You know what I mean? If I'm comfortable behaving like this around this person.
Right.
Eventually, if you're around me long enough, you'll see that same behavior over here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. I'm telling you, that's a big red flag. Like,
yeah, man.
The minute you disrespect your parents in front of me.
Yep.
I just replace their face with mine, and I'm like, oh, hell no.
Before we get out of here, I got one question to ask y'all off top.
Uh-oh.
That's a conclusion, ladies and gentlemen. Top five.
We can go on the road now.
So I was watching the Princess of L.A. reunion, right? And this is an old show. It's probably about 20 years old. Okay. It came out when they had a whole bunch of preacher shows on TV a long time ago.
Okay.
So they finally got, like, Bishop Noel Jones, Dietrich Haddon, Bishop Gibson, and... Minister Dwayne, whatever his name is, he's a pastor also. All of these are prominent pastors in LA. So they had a question on the set. Dietrich Haddon was celebrating his 50th birthday party, right? He has a younger wife. And in the video, you know, you can tell they're getting loose a little bit at the party. and his wife ended up, the pastor's wife, mm-hmm. which, however y'all want to take that, I have my own take on pastor-wise, like, that's not a position.
It's not.
That's your spouse, this is your congregation.
I agree.
Your spouse doesn't inherit position because of who you are.
Right.
So, she was twerking on her husband. Mm. On the video.
You already lost me.
Yeah. you already know. Yeah.
So, they were saying, what Dietrich was saying, that was okay.
No.
Cap.
I don't do that. I wouldn't, and not just because they're preachers or anything like that, but I wouldn't dance provocatively with my wife in public. You know what I'm saying? What we do, I mean, the scripture says the marriage bedroom is undefiled, so what we do in the bedroom is between us. That whole suggestive dancing thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, that there's a time and a place for that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't do it. I'll just put it like that. I wouldn't do it, and my wife wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's just it.
And they were trying to shame one of the pastor wives for saying that she don't do that.
Now, see, right. Yeah. See, yeah. What about you, sir?
I have this one rule. I do not like PDA. Public
display of affection. Yeah.
You want to kiss your girl in purple? Like a pick?
Because of the world we're in and because of how people view things and like the whole cameras and social media.
Yeah.
I legitimately just want you to be mine. Like, I just want you. I don't want to sexualize you in any way.
Yeah.
I see you as a pure form, so I want everybody else to see you as a pure form. Right?
Yeah.
So anything like smacking her ass in public or, you know what I mean? Like tongue kissing like that.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, like anything that would.
He's stupid.
Not with everybody looking, you know what I mean? Like, if I just walk by and we somewhere and I'm just touching you and it's the camera ain't on me,
and I walk by
a table of food and you right there,
I might just,
you know, look past, all right, you look good, girl.
You
know, because that's intimate still.
Yeah, yeah.
But if everybody's looking in our direction and just trying to perform for the people,
right?
That's wrong.
Yeah.
And position does still matter for those that do go to church. Or that believe in like priesthood and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Follow me. I'm having a conversation with y'all.
Yeah.
What I do, if what I do offends my brother, that's an issue.
Yeah, like Paul said that.
Yes.
If eating fish or eating meat in front of my brother offends him, I'm not going to eat meat in front of my brother.
Yeah.
I get you? Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. But when you gone,
yeah,
I'm eating fish.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if me and my wife doing it now, if it's just a party that I have no cameras, and we're all pastors, and we're all pastor wives, and it's just us, and we getting a little loose, put your phones down. This is between us.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point. I think, and I'll challenge the listener, because I wanted to talk about, I think this is better for a subject unto itself, but I challenge the listener, if you can't go a day without picking up this phone, you have a problem. Hmm. If you can't go without, and I mean not to answer a phone call or anything like that, but if you can't go one day without social media, you have a problem. If you can't go
Facebook
one day...
Facebook needs me.
See, that's that BS. You know what I'm saying? If you can't go one day without posting, you know what I'm saying? If you can't go one day without, you know, checking your whatever it is, you know...
That's whatever. Crazy. You know what's even crazier? I'll be hearing people saying they're doing social media cleanses. I'm like, what?
Hold on, I do those.
Nigga, you can't just put the phone there?
So, the reason I do it...
You know what? No. Finish your point, but we're going to have... This need to be a topic unto itself, because, man, I got a whole... Yeah, go ahead,
Dave. You got time?
Yeah, that's okay. So, the reason I do it, I do it at least once a month, or I do like a month cleanse, because I know how addicting social media is. I know how everything...
Yes, it is.
It's
also messes your brain up.
And it also messes your brain up.
That's what I'm saying. We need to do this next week.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what they call a tease in Radio Land. Man, I'm telling you, I got...
We gotta get into that.
Yeah, because I got actual factuals. I got scientific data.
Me too.
But more than that, it's proof. So we can talk about that.
Could you be addicted to social media?
Me? Dude, I ain't been on Facebook.
I'm saying... Could you?
if I allow it to, just like any other, it's like any other addiction.
Exactly.
Or any other thing.
Like if you, sugar and all.
Yeah, if you can't go.
Sugar is good.
See? If you can't go without it, then you're addicted to it, you know what I'm saying? And it holds a certain power over you.
Exactly.
Let's just be real. I'm going to keep it a hundo, man. If you can't go without that, then you need to do some type of self-actualization, fam. I mean, and that's just real, man.
And you know what's crazy? I challenge people when I was like, when I, you know, I'm doing the social media cleanse.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, y'all trying to do a social media cleanse like at least a week?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Did you announce it on social media?
Huh?
You announcing it on social media?
Well, I had groups, but usually I'll be like,
with your friends.
Your friend groups and stuff like that. Yeah. But I did make a post like, I'll be right back. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like that, but people like, you know, why are you doing that? Like, what's social media doing? I'm like, because there's a thing, a setting on there on Instagram, right? It shows you how many hours a day or whatever. And that's, I've seen how much hours.
Yeah, I was man. Like,
no.
Yeah.
And that shit blew my mind. I was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, I get off on when my phone tells me I've used my phone. I'm like, I probably used my phone 2 hours last week and they say, well, you 20 minutes down this week. Like, what?
That's so crazy, man, how it tracks all of that. But that's another topic.
I can't see myself ever tripping off social media. Like, if they got rid of Facebook.
Right, I'd be fine. But see, we grew up in a generation to where we were outside.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I grew up, the worst thing you could do is sit me in the house. Now some of these kids don't even want to go out the house.
Exactly.
Let alone go out and get your hands in the dirt and, like, actually, you know what I'm saying, do some work, man. Everybody want to be on the damn camera. Put that damn camera down.
And that's why I said ban TikTok.
Okay, so next week we're going to do social media.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
And that's what y'all come back next week. We're going to be on it.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be on it. That's going to be the topic next week. So, as usual, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us.
That's right.
These are our 2 cents. Spend them or save them, however you please. Got my boy Nick in here.
The silent assassin.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
You want to see on social media?
No.
He's stupid.
All right. He just on there. Moshe in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And yours truly, the realest nigga in the room.
The only one
that's present on your microphones right now.
For sure.
And I want to send a special shout out to my Aunt Carolyn. She had a mild heart attack. Get well, baby. I'm going to send this video to you just so it can keep you company while you're in the hospital.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can aggravate, so you can hear my sexy voice.
He's so all sexy. Right.
If you ain't up, you up now.
So, all right, people. We'll see you next week.
Yay. Yeah.